Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from Romans 6, and we're focusing on verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, work through my words to work in the hearts and the lives of the people who hear them, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray this. Amen. It is the first Sunday after Epiphany, and so what we've done is we have gone from the cradle to adulthood. Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem and appeared to shepherds, and then Jesus, who appeared to the Magi sometime afterward. Now he's an adult, and he's going to the Jordan River to be baptized. So the first Sunday after Epiphany is always the baptism of our Lord. But it's also a time to focus on our own baptism as well. And we are beginning a four-week series called No Ordinary Water on this, you know, day, starting with the baptism of our Lord, because I just feel that baptism, people appreciate it, and yet I wonder if in our day-to-day lives we don't realize just how mind-blowing the sacrament of holy baptism is. It just seems for many people they focus on what goes on over at that font, but don't really consider the ongoing significance that will last onto into eternity. So we are going to look at the series where God works through his word and H2O, water. Now, water, it seems kind of ordinary, isn't it? I mean, it's there. There is water everywhere. There is icy water out there, you know. There's hopefully not ice on the sidewalk, but it's there. You probably washed your hands with water. You probably took a shower with water or took a bath with water. You drink water, right? It's ordinary. And yet it's not. Because water can bring death and it can bring life. Water can bring death. And I know this kind of personally, because it was a few years ago when I was on vacation with my parents and my brother, and it was a wonderful vacation in the Caribbean, and we were snorkeling, and suddenly I heard the cries of help from my own dad. He had exhausted himself swimming. He was far from shore, and he couldn't keep his head above water anymore. And if my brother had not been there to scoop him up and have the strength to get him to shore, he would have gone under and drowned. Yes, water can bring death. But water can also bring life, can it? You need water to live. Everything needs water to live. You know, you don't hear a gardening expert say, I want you to go pour a right amount of motor oil on the plants because then it will grow. That may be the case, but I'm not a gardening expert. No, they say it needs water. You don't hear your doctor tell you, okay, you need to drink 64 ounces of nitroglycerin a day. No, it's 64 ounces of water because that's how your body works. If you go 3 days without water, you're not going any further. Water seems ordinary, and yet it's not. In the same way, baptism seems ordinary, and yet it is not. I mean, it does. It seems so simple, right? It's water. You apply differing amounts, fine. If you want to dunk, fine. If you want to sprinkle, fine. If you want to, you know, do it in a lake or the ocean or whatever, you use whatever water you want. And then there's God's word. You know, we use God's actual words from his son at the end of Matthew. Go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what we say. In fact, The actual baptism, not the whole, you know, rigmarole around it. The actual baptism probably takes about 5 seconds. Simple. But is it really that simple? I heard a story about a tourist group that was in New York City, and they had a stop at St. Peter's Lutheran Church. Now, this was one of those, you know, kind of Gothic cathedral-type Lutheran churches, you know, huge spires, cavernous space. And they got into the narthex area, the entrance area, and some churches have baptismal fonts right there, and they did. I know St. John's had their baptismal font toward the back because that's how you're brought into the church, through the waters of holy baptism. But when this tourist group saw the baptismal font, they were stunned. This thing was huge. Huge. I mean, it was huge. The walls were like this high, and it was full of water. There was actually a stair, a little mini staircase to get up to it. And the pastor was coming along, and he just happened to be there, and one of the tour group members asked him, "So how do you do baptisms here?" He said, "Well, sometimes they, you know, get water poured on them. Sometimes they want to get done, like dunked, like in there. Sometimes they just a little sprinkle. You know, I just kind of reach up and dip my hand in there and sprinkle it." But then he said this to them, "But whatever way they get baptized, I want to make sure I use enough water to kill them." Baptism is no ordinary water because it kills and it makes alive. This is what Paul says here. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Baptism brings death. It slays the old Adam, kills him. Baptism brings burial. It takes that sinful nature and drowns it in the tomb of water. And baptism brings new life. A new creation is raised up out of the waters. And the way Paul puts it here, this is a reality. This is not merely symbolic or metaphorical. This is actually the case. But baptism can only do this if it is united with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. Jesus rose from the dead. And so Paul says if we are united in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The word that Paul uses there, united, means to become one with. When you are baptized, you join Jesus on that cross. You join Jesus in that tomb. And you join Jesus when he steps out of it. And so Paul concludes, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And we should every day consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. We should. But appearances can be deceiving. Case in point. We are a Lutheran church, and therefore we believe in infant baptism. Yes, we've baptized many infants here. We believe it's God's work that is doing this, not the work of the individual. God is the one baptizing them. And for you guys, you often don't get to see my perspective, the kids. The kids' face when the water hits their head. Some scream, "Hey, this is cold. What are you doing, strange man?" Some are in shock. They just like, "Whoa, what's going on? What is that?" And some really good ones are at peace. They're just like, ah, and they close their eyes. Some have even not known they're baptized because they were sleeping. But then it's over, and the child grows up. Oh, and they rebel against their parents. They disobey. They break God's law. They scream. They cry. What happened here? Another case in point. As part of my devotional practice, sometimes I like to include Martin Luther's morning prayer in my prayer life. And it goes like this. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me from sin and every evil so that all my doings in life may please you. Amen. I go off to my day and I sin. I do. I sin. I have bad thoughts, evil desires. I say things I shouldn't say. I do things that hurt others. What happened? And I'm sure that's your experience as well. Oh, yeah, you try to live as a baptized child of God, and yet every day, all of a sudden, you're presenting your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You give in to sinful desires. You break God's law all over the place. You covet. You commit adultery. You steal. You lie. You break the Sabbath. You don't honor God's name. And yes, all of us probably have little idols and some big ones. Huh. But this can get so bad to the point where when you sin, you start rationalizing it and thinking, well, you know, I know God will forgive me. I know He will. He is a loving, gracious God. So what? So what if I sin? I can sin. Sure. I can go on. And then it gets even worse. When you are living in sin, and I don't mean an arrangement between a couple. No. I mean you are living in it. Sin dominates, lords it over you. You're not even thinking about it. You're not even thinking about confessing it. It's just the way you live. And by appearances, it looks like you never went under the waters. But that's when Jesus comes. That's when He comes among us. Just as He did back when He came among all those sinners in the wilderness, heeding the call of John the Baptist, repent and be baptized, because someone is coming. And that someone did come. And John recognizes him. Whoa, what are you doing here? You don't need what I've got to offer. You are the sinless Holy One of God. In fact, I need what you can give to me. And what Jesus says to him is absolutely stunning. Let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And John baptizes him. He comes up out of the water. He is anointed by the Holy Spirit. This is my Son. I am well pleased. And He has now become the one who bears our sin. Yes. He has now become sin so that we can have His righteousness. And He comes up out of the water, and where does He go? Where's His destination? The cross. And He's going to take every sin with Him. Your faith has healed you. You are healed. You are forgiven. And He's like soaking up all this sin like a sponge. And He takes all of it to the cross. And He puts it to death. And then He is laid in the tomb, buried with that sin. And then He rises again without sin. You see, Jesus was the first one to die to sin. the first one to be buried, the first one to rise again, so that he can come among sinners in baptism. And he can unite himself with you, unite his death and his burial and his resurrection, so that you can die to sin, so that you can be buried, so that you can rise to newness of life. You see, when you were dead in your sins and trespasses, when I was dead in my sins and trespasses, when I obeyed all kinds of sinful desires, when I offered my entire self as an instrument of unrighteousness, that's when Jesus baptized you. Jesus gave you his grace and his love and his mercy, so that now Jesus counts you dead to sin and alive to God in him. But did you notice that when Jesus got up out of the waters, what did he do? He went to the cross. He had a mission. He had a purpose. He was going to go to the cross to serve sinful humanity. And boy, he was going to meet every obstacle along the way. But he was going to go and live for God. So in the same way, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are united with Jesus Christ in baptism, offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And this happens in two ways. Struggle with your sin. And I don't mean your willpower, like, okay, now I've got to really, struggle with sin. No. What it means is that you have died, and sin no longer lords it over you. You don't have to obey it. It can't command a corpse to get up and sin. You have died. So rest in that. Struggle with that. And then live your life for God. Offer yourselves as instruments of righteousness to people. Love them, serve them, and bring them the good news of God and Jesus Christ, the good news of baptism. Struggle with your sin. Offer your life to God. But remember this. It is all because you are no longer under the law. It no longer weighs down a burden on you. Its curse has been, it's been broken. You have been set free because you are under grace. You are under God's love and grace now and forever in Jesus Christ. But maybe you need a daily reminder. This morning, before I came to church here, I took a shower. I washed myself, and it felt so good. And then I thought about it. I'm dead and alive in Christ Jesus. So look for those little visual reminders. Take a shower, wash your hands, drink some water. Whatever it is, look for those waters, those reminders in simple H2O that you are united with Jesus Christ in baptism. That his death and burial and resurrection is yours. So that every day you can die to sin and walk in newness of life. Amen.